The scripture reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 9, verses 21 through 24. And he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately, the boy's father cried out and began saying, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." And Dennis will explain the whole thing.
It's good to see everybody this morning. Well, I've been thinking about this moment for the last few weeks of us being able to gather together, and it's really good to see everybody's faces again. I know it's been a difficult time, but this makes it all worthwhile. Before I get started, I just want to your communion cups after services, if you will take them. There's some trash cans out in the foyer. If you can drop them off on your way out, that'll eliminate someone having to go by and picking them up. And also after services, after our closing prayer, we're going to kind of leave the auditorium in a sequence so that folks are not congregating too close together. And we'll start with one side, the back row, and the back rows will go out first. And we ask that you leave the building immediately. We can congregate outside, but we don't want to confine everybody to our foyers. So if after services, you will immediately head out the door, and then we can meet outside in the fresh air and the sunshine to make it the great day that it is. You know, Peter, James, and John, what they were going through was incredible. In Mark chapter 9, and also recorded in Matthew 17, and also in Luke, they had been there with Jesus. They witnessed Jesus shining like the sun. They saw their two great heroes, Moses and Elijah, men who were supposed to be dead, but here they are alive talking with Jesus. And then they heard God talking to them, telling them that Jesus is the one that we are supposed to listen to. And now it was time to come down off of that mountain. Can you just imagine how excited these three men were to be able to share that experience that they had on that mountaintop? You can almost see them walking down and coming up to their fellow disciples and saying, "You'll never guess what we saw." And then they would try to one-up one another. I guess you could say that this is the ultimate mountaintop experience. Have you ever had one of those? Probably our children at camp or a really good youth rally experienced those. It's an experience for Christians in which we are inspired by an event. Our kids, when they come home from Bible camp, a lot of times they're excited. The same with youth rallies. They've experienced the excitement of it all. When they go to church, when they go to their Bible classes or listen to the sermon, it's just not camp. For those of us that go to gospel meetings, we probably experience the same thing. We've probably been so energized by a good gospel meeting that we just can't wait. The problem with mountaintop experiences is they're difficult to keep when you're not on the mountain. How do we live? How do we find faith when we are not on the mountain hearing God speak? We've all been through a lot these last few weeks. There are those that's probably been dealing with financial situations because they might have been laid off from work or their business has shuttered and closed their doors for a while. And it feels like maybe their financial situation might be destroying the family. How do you find faith when someone you care about no longer cares about you? What about your relationship between your spouse and your children, especially if we've been confined and your whole routine has been thrown in skelter? And you're home, and you're with each other 24/7. Keeping your faith in a spiritual desert is not easy. Platitudes and slogans are nice, but they don't help us find faith when we feel like our faith is faltering or failing. We know that Scripture helps. But when we are hurting deeply, we don't need to be told that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. All that is really done was aid in our feeling that maybe we don't love the Lord enough. Faith isn't easy when fear and pain flood our souls. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all put our text today on the heels of that mountaintop experience that Peter, James, and John had. Now let us set the stage for this lesson that will help us to see this account in its context. They come down from the mountain. And I can visualize these things in a lot of ways. And Jesus is probably going first, going down the mountain. Peter, James, and John, they're all skipping and they can't wait to tell these guys. And then Jesus finds his disciples arguing with the scribes. You can almost hear Peter, James, and John ask, "Now what?" Let's look in verse 17 through 19 in Mark chapter 9. Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he was of the spirit that makes him mute. And wherever it seizes him, he throws himself down, he foams and he grinds his teeth, and he becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they were not able to." And Jesus, he answered him, and he said, "Oh, you faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." Wasn't these the same disciples who earlier Jesus sent out with the power to heal and the power to cast out demons, something that they could never have done before? And for some reason, this one demon had them buffalo. They couldn't do it. I don't know what words might have been said, but I do know the answer. After everything was done, we read this in verse 28 and 29. "And when he entered the house, the disciples, they asked him privately, 'Why couldn't we cast it out?' And Jesus, he answered them and he said, 'This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. What was their problem? Was it that they didn't pray first? Or was it that they didn't bring God into the healing process? The book of Matthew records Jesus as saying it was because of their little faith. Faith is the center of this narrative. Without faith, we have nothing. Do we have faith? Do we have conviction? True belief that God has the power over everything, including demons? You know, when Jesus in verse 19 said, "Oh, you faithless generation, how long will I be with you?" I don't believe he was talking to the scribes. I believe he was talking to his disciples. It must have been a tremendous shock to these men that they were not able to cast out this demon when they had casted out demons before. Faith is the key. Now we get to see what happens next. And this part of the account is the hard hitter. This is the one that probably will hit us between the eyes the hardest. When I read things, when I read books, or when I read Bible, For some reason I get a mental picture of what's going on. And I try to put that in. And you can just with the words, you can feel the emotion that this dad has for his child. Let's go back to Charles' scripture reading, but we'll start with verse 22. We'll repeat that through verse 24. "And it has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him." You can do anything. Have compassion on us and help him. Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible for one who believes." And immediately the father, he cries out, "I believe. Help my unbelief." To me, those six words don't go together. One moment he says, "I believe," and then he says, "Help my unbelief." Kind of makes us confused a little bit sometimes. But what we have here is a very honest man. He didn't try to play a game with Jesus. He didn't try to use the right religious words to sound like he had more faith than he did. What he simply said was what he truly felt at the moment. "I believe. Help my unbelief." You see, this father simply didn't understand everything that was happening. Wasn't that he didn't believe in Jesus, because he brought his child to Jesus. It was just that he didn't know how to have faith in this trial. Sometimes all we have is maybe. Sometimes the best that we can offer Jesus is the truth that we want to believe. And we know we should believe. But right now, in the very moment, we feel like our world is in a free fall. And we can't fix it. Parents, when your child is sick, you want to be able to fix it, don't you? When they're hurt, you want to be able to fix it. When they bring a broken toy to you, you want to be able to fix it. Sometimes we just can't. And then we have to give them the awful truth. "I'll have to buy you another one. I can't fix it. Personally, I believe we grow more when our faith is tested than when everything is on a mountaintop experience. Faith finds strength in the valleys of life, not on the mountaintops. We need to be honest with our weaknesses. We need to speak them with God. We just might find that when we reach out our hand, that He lifts us up, and we can walk in ways we can never realize. Now, there's an account in Matthew chapter 14. Peter walking on water. Now, we like to use this a lot, especially when it comes about faith. Everything was great until he took his eyes off of Christ and he saw the wind and the waves. How many times are we like that? How many times the storms of life are beating us down and we take our eyes off of Christ? His faith faltered. He began to sink. But Peter did the best possible move. He reached out and he called for Jesus. Let's listen to one statement, Matthew chapter 14 and verses 31 and 32. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. It's that last verse that we need to ponder. When they got into the boat, here's what I believe. When Peter reached out to Jesus, Peter walked on the water with Jesus and got back in the boat. Jesus didn't drag him through the water into the boat. Jesus didn't have him in a lifeguard hold and swam him to the boat. He walked him back to the boat. Yes, sometimes we doubt. Sometimes, yes, the fear is overwhelming. Yes, sometimes the pain is so deep we either question God or get silent with God. But when we need some help in our unbelief, we need to do exactly what Peter did and reach out our hand to the one who saves. Together, we and Jesus can walk back to the boat. For most of us, our faith is growing, it's strong, and we are walking well, even with this world that is in chaos because of this virus. But if your faith has felt some doubt, if your anxiety is growing faster than your peace with God, reach out your hand to Jesus. I guarantee that He will lift you up and bring you back into the boat. If you're having a very difficult time, you know, 7 weeks is a long time to be away from one another and to be able to meet and to be encouraged by one another. And sometimes we've allowed the situation that we've been put into to drag us under. And maybe because of the frustrations that you've been going through these last few weeks, whether it's driving 20, 30, 40 miles a day just to find a roll of toilet paper or some hand sanitizer, and getting frustrated, that caused you to think and say things that you typically would not do. Maybe the thoughts that have gone through your mind that you know God would not be pleased with. We want to give you an opportunity to have those things erased. If you're a child of God and you need to make things right with God, we want to give you that opportunity today. If you're not a child of God, if you have not obeyed the gospel, if you have not had your sins washed away in water baptism, we want to give you that opportunity also. If there's anyone that has a need, we pray that you will come as together we stand and we